December 10th. Our reading today from the Old Testament will be from the book of Amos, chapter 1, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 3, verse 15. The prophet Amos came from Judah, but his ministry was primarily to Israel, the northern kingdom. He was a herdsman farmer, and his book contains many rural allusions. Now, Amos didn't have the formal training of a prophet, but was called of God and effectively preached God's word. Under Jeroboam II, the northern kingdom was enjoying a time of peace and prosperity. Interest in religion was high, but the revival was shallow and had little effect on the everyday life of the people. The rich were getting richer, and the poor had no one to defend them. Amos warned that God was sending judgment to Israel and the nations around her. And in 722 BC, Assyria did, in fact, bring that judgment. The book contains 8 accusations against the nations, 3 messages about the sins of Israel, and 5 visions of future judgment. The book ends with the promise of restoration for God's people. The name Amos means to be burdened. And he certainly was burdened because of the sins of his people. In chapters 1 and 2, Amos denounces the sins of 6 Gentile nations before he pronounces judgment on Judah and Israel. God did not give his law to the Gentile nations, but he still held them accountable for their sins against humanity. Israel and Judah sinned against God's law and God's love, but the Gentiles sinned against their inner law, their conscience. The Gentiles sinned against their fellow man. Amos condemned their brutality, slavery, revenge, murder, and thievery. The nations seemed to get away with their sins, but God eventually caught up with them. He is long-suffering, but he is also holy. They being the chosen people of God, Israel and Judah had a greater responsibility before the Lord. In one way or another, they violated all the 10 commandments, and that meant God would have to judge them. If God judges lost people for their sins, what will he do to those who claim to know him? Privilege brings responsibility, and where there is responsibility, there will be accountability. The people of Israel and Judah rejoiced when they heard Amos condemn their neighbors, but then he condemned God's people for their sins, and they were not rejoicing over that. This was simply not acceptable to them. Is God being long-suffering toward you? Is his judgment of others a warning to you? Are you heeding it? And now let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. December 10th, Amos chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 3, verse 15. This message was given to Amos, a shepherd from the town of Tekoa in Judah. He received this message in visions, 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah and Jeroboam II, the son of Jehoash, was king of Israel. This is his report of what he saw and heard. The Lord's voice roars from his temple on Mount Zion. He thunders from Jerusalem. Suddenly the lush pastures of the shepherds dry up. All the grass on Mount Carmel withers and dies. This is what the Lord says. The people of Damascus have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer. They beat down my people in Gilead as grain is threshed with threshing sledges of iron. So I will send down fire on King Ahazael's palace, and the fortresses of King Ben-Hadad will be destroyed. I will break down the gates of Damascus and slaughter its people, all the way to the valley of Avan. I will destroy the ruler in Beth-Eden, and the people of Aram will return to Kir as slaves. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what the Lord says. The people of Gaza have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer. They sent my people into exile, selling them as slaves in Edom. So I will send down fire on the walls of Gaza, and all its fortresses will be destroyed. I will slaughter the people of Ashdod and destroy the king of Ashkelon. Then I will return to attack Ekron, and the few Philistines still left will be killed. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. This is what the Lord says. The people of Tyre have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer. They broke their treaty of brotherhood with Israel, selling whole villages as slaves to Edom. So I will send down fire on the walls of Tyre, and all its fortresses will be destroyed. This is what the Lord says. The people of Edom have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer. They chased down their relatives, the Israelites, with swords. They showed them no mercy and were unrelenting in their anger. So I will send down fire on Teman, and the fortresses of Bozra will be destroyed. This is what the Lord says. The people of Ammon have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer. When they attacked Gilead to extend their borders, they committed cruel crimes, ripping open pregnant women with their swords. So I will send down fire on the walls of Rabbah, and all its fortresses will be destroyed. There will be wild shouts during the battle, swirling like a whirlwind in a mighty storm, and their king and his princes will go into exile together. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what the Lord says. The people of Moab have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer. They desecrated the tomb of Edom's king and burned his bones to ashes. So I will send down fire on the land of Moab, and all the fortresses in Kirioth will be destroyed. The people will fall in the noise of battle, as the warriors shout and the trumpets blare, and I will destroy their king and slaughter all their princes. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what the Lord says. The people of Judah have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer. They have rejected the laws of the Lord, refusing to obey him. They have been led astray by the same lies that deceived their ancestors. So I will send down fire on Judah, and all the fortresses of Jerusalem will be destroyed. This is what the Lord says. The people of Israel have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer. They have perverted justice by selling honest people for silver and poor people for a pair of sandals. They trample helpless people in the dust and deny justice to those who are oppressed. Both father and son sleep with the same woman, corrupting my holy name. At their religious festivals, they lounge around in clothing stolen from their debtors. In the house of their God, they present offerings of wine purchased with stolen money. Yet think of all I did for my people. I destroyed the Amorites before my people arrived in the land. The Amorites were as tall as cedar trees and strong as oaks, but I destroyed their fruit and dug out their roots. It was I who rescued you from Egypt and led you through the desert for 40 years so you could possess the land of the Amorites. I chose some of your sons to be prophets and others to be Nazarites. Can you deny this, my people of Israel? Asks the Lord. But you caused the Nazarites to sin by making them drink your wine, and you said to my prophets, shut up. So I will make you groan as a wagon groans when it is loaded down with grain. Your fastest runners will not get away. The strongest among you will become weak. Even the mightiest warriors will be unable to save themselves. The archers will fail to stand their ground. The swiftest soldiers won't be fast enough to escape. Even warriors on horses won't be able to outrun the danger. On that day, the most courageous of your fighting men will drop their weapons and run for their lives. I, the Lord, have spoken. Listen to this message that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel and Judah, the entire family I rescued from Egypt. From among all the families on the earth, I chose you alone. That is why I must punish you for all your sins. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Does a lion ever roar in a thicket without first finding a victim? Does a young lion growl in its den without first catching its prey? Does a bird ever get caught in a trap that has no bait? Does a trap ever spring shut when there's nothing there to catch? When the war trumpet blares, shouldn't the people be alarmed? When disaster comes to a city, isn't it because the Lord planned it? But always, first of all, I warn you through my servants, the prophets. I, the sovereign Lord, have now done this. The lion has roared. Tremble in fear. The sovereign Lord has spoken. I dare not refuse to proclaim his message. Announce this to the leaders of Philistia and Egypt. Take your seats now on the hills around Samaria and witness the scandalous spectacle of all Israel's crimes. My people have forgotten what it means to do right, says the Lord. Their fortresses are filled with wealth taken by theft and violence. Therefore, says the sovereign Lord, an enemy is coming. He will surround them and shatter their defenses. Then he will plunder all their fortresses. This is what the Lord says. A shepherd who tries to rescue a sheep from a lion's mouth will recover only two legs and a piece of ear. So it will be when the Israelites in Samaria are rescued with only a broken chair and a tattered pillow. Now listen to this, and announce it throughout all Israel, says the Lord God Almighty. On the very day I punish Israel for its sins, I will destroy the pagan altars at Bethel. The horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will destroy the beautiful homes of the wealthy, their winter mansions and their summer houses too, all their palaces filled with ivory. I, the Lord, have spoken. December 10th. And now we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament. And of course, we're in the book of Revelation. Today we'll be reading from chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. This is where it tells us that judgment begins at the house of God. So Jesus deals with the seven churches before he deals with the lost world. These churches illustrate the good and the bad and the ugly in churches everywhere and in every age. If you were looking for a church to join, which of these would you select and why? There was the church at Ephesus. And there is so much good in this church that we're kind of surprised to discover they had left, and not lost, just left their first love. The honeymoon was over. No amount of separation, sacrifice, or service can make up for your lack of love toward the Lord. The word Nicolaitans means conquer the people. Apparently, a group in the church lorded it over the people and promoted a separation of clergy and laity. And then there was the church at Smyrna. The name Smyrna comes from myrrh, which is a bitter herb, a suitable name for a church facing persecution. Would the believers be fearful or faithful? Suffering can enrich us, even if we think we're poor, and what people think is wealth might turn out to be poverty. What difference does it make if people slander you so long as you have the Lord's approval? And then there's the church of Pergamos. These believers held to the faith even when it might have cost them their lives. They were noble, but they were too tolerant of false doctrine and were in danger of having the Lord declare war on the church. Balaam convinced Israel to compromise with their unbelieving neighbors. disobey the Lord, and indulge in immorality. Being willing to die for the faith is no substitute for living the faith. And that's enough for now. With that, let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. December 10th, Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles, but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen from your first love. Turn back to me again and work as you did at first. If you don't, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But there is this about you that is good. You hate the deeds of the immoral Nicolaitans just as I do. Anyone who is willing to hear should listen to the Spirit and understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Everyone who is victorious will eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. This is the message from the one who is the first and the last, who died and is alive. I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the slander of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they really aren't, because theirs is a synagogue of Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison and put you to the test. You will be persecuted for 10 days. Remain faithful even when facing death, and I will give you the crown of life. Anyone who is willing to hear should listen to the Spirit and understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be hurt by the second death. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Pergamum. This is the message from the one who has a sharp two-edged sword. I know that you live in the city where that great throne of Satan is located, and yet you have remained loyal to me. And you refused to deny me, even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you by Satan's followers. And yet, I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you who are like Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to worship idols by eating food offered to idols and by committing sexual sin. In the same way, you have some Nicolaitans among you, people who follow the same teaching and commit the same sins. Repent, or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Anyone who is willing to hear should listen to the Spirit and understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Everyone who is victorious will eat of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven, and I will give to each one a white stone. And on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. Psalm 129, verses 1 through 8. Israel's afflictions are compared to the plowing of a field. Think for just a moment of what it would feel like to be face down in the dirt while a plow goes down your back. Ouch. How do you handle a situation like that? First, you accept it from the Lord. If the Lord is allowing people to plow your back, it's happening because He has planned a harvest. Just be sure you plant the right kind of seed. If you plant anger and malice, you will not reap the blessings of the Lord. Second, you trust the Lord to help you. In His own time, He will stop the plows and cut the cords so they cannot plow anymore. All their efforts will be useless. And third, when this is going on, you wait for the Lord to judge your enemies. You don't do that yourself. He will put them to shame and make them wither like grass on a sod roof. On the other hand, God's people will hear God's blessing in their ears and have God's blessing in their hands. Plowing times can be productive times. Psalm 129, verses 1 through 8, a song for the ascent to Jerusalem. From my earliest youth, my enemies have persecuted me. Let Israel now say, from my earliest youth, my enemies have persecuted me. But they have never been able to finish me off. My back is covered with cuts, as if a farmer had plowed long furrows. But the Lord is good. He has cut the cords used by the ungodly to bind me. May all who hate Jerusalem be turned back in shameful defeat. May they be as useless as grass on a rooftop, turning yellow when only half grown, ignored by the harvester, despised by the binder. And may those who pass by refuse to give them this blessing. The Lord's blessings be upon you. We bless you in the Lord's name. Proverbs 29, verses 19 and 20. For a servant, mere words are not enough. Discipline is needed. For the words may be understood, but they are not heeded. There is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking.